We're in the middle of Likut Emoran Tanina, and we're up to Torah Tzadik Vov. The chapters in Likut Emoran that we're doing now deal primarily with the topic of Hispeidus, which just again as a reminder, this word is used among religious Jews many times to mean different things. The way that this word is used in Rabbeinu Zal's Sforim specifically is to refer to not just being alone, but tefillah alone. When a person is speaking to Hashem in their own words, in privacy, in addition to the standard tefillahs that we're used to talking about, which are Shacharis Mincha Maariv, Tehillim, and other Sforim that deal with tefillahs. Rav Nosson Zal writes, Oid Omar Le'inyin HaHispeidus, Rabbeinu Zal also said, regarding this subject of Hispeidus, that Rabbeinu Zal was very particular to be very, very much on top of this. To be very, very consistent in Hispeidus. To speak with Hashem at length every single day, to discuss his whole situation, his whole life with Hashem on a daily basis. The Omar and Rabbeinu Zal said, Sha'afilu kishein yecholan ledaber klal, that even when a person finds that they can't speak at all, afilu kishemedabrim rak dibur echod gam kein toiv moid, even if a person is limited to one sentence, to one statement, even that's considered very, very good. The Omar and Rabbeinu Zal said, Shafilu imeino yochel ledabe rak dibur echod, even if a person could only say one sentence, one statement, yihye chozok bedaitoi, the person should be very firm, v'yedabe roisei hadibur kamo v'kamo pomim b'lishir v'erech, and the person should be willing to repeat that sentence, that statement, many, many, many times, no matter how many times it is, to keep going at it. Vafilu im yevale kamo v'kamo yomim b'dibur zeh levad, and even if a person will find that he goes many, many days with this one sentence, now on one hand it seems ridiculous, on one hand it doesn't. We know that there are times that a person finds that they can't, people that try this, Hispeidus, know that there are times that Kaviyochel Hashem opens up a person's mouth, and a person finds that they're able to speak to Hashem at length, where a person finds that even after speaking to Hashem for an hour, it seems like a drop in the bucket compared to how much there is to say, how much there is to ask Hashem for, and how much there is to thank Hashem for. On the other hand, there are times when a person is in a certain frame of mind that they can't talk. It's not that all their problems have been solved or anything, but the mouth is closed. The meichin are closed, the brain is closed, and the mouth is closed. And a person finds that at best, all they can say is, Hashem, please help me. Can you elaborate on that? And the answer is, not really. A person is in such a low frame of mind where they can't seem to say much more than that at that time. And Rabbeinu Zal says that if a Yid finds himself in that kind of predicament, fine, then say that statement 1,000 times. Say it for an hour straight. There's nothing wrong with repeating over and over, Hashem, please help me. Hashem, please help me. Hashem, please, just to say it over each time softly, coming from the heart and really meaning what you're saying. If that's all you're able to say at that point, then by all means, say it, even if this goes on for a few days, keep going at it. V'yihye chozok v'amitz, and the person should be very strong about this. V'yirbe ledaber oisei adibur pomim ein misbor, and the person should continue saying that statement over endless times, 1,000 times, 20,000 times, ad shiyirachem olav Hashem yisborach, until Hashem will take pity on the person, v'yiftach piv, and Hashem will open the person's mouth, v'yuchal lefareish sichosoi, and the person will be able to elaborate in discussing his whole situation. This is definitely one of the greatest gifts from Hashem. When Hashem gives a person words, Hashem opens up a person's brain, heart, and mouth to be able to speak with Hashem, to be able to elaborate in a conversation, in a discussion with Hashem. In fact, I heard it said in a shiur by Rabbi Yechaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that in the Shmoneh Esrei, that we say, what's the most outstanding sentence within the Shmoneh Esrei? Out of the whole thing. The Arizal says it's the words, Hashem sefosai tiftoch ufi yaget tehilo secho. That opening sentence in the Shmoneh Esrei, where a Yid says to Hashem, Hashem, please open my lips and allow my mouth to speak your praises, that's the key to everything. That's the key to the whole thing. Because you can have two people saying the same words. One of them, Hashem has opened his mouth, and the other one, Hashem hasn't opened his mouth. And they're both saying the words, and it's two different worlds completely. One of them is saying it where his brain is attached to it and his heart, and he feels every word that he's saying, and he means every word that he's saying. And he's truly, truly speaking to Hashem. And the other one, it could be a concept of a person throwing a pebble up to somebody that's a million miles away. It's that type of distance. And this is why it's so important for a person to really mean what they're saying. When we say those words, Hashem Sosei Tiftach, what does it mean? It means like there's a possibility of me standing here and my lips aren't going to move? The answer is no. Baloney. You can have two people whose lips are physically moving, and one of them is davening and the other one isn't. Even if he is saying the words, it's nothing, it's empty, because there's no feeling in it, the neshama is not connected to it, the mind is not connected to it, and the hookup with Hashem is not as good as it's supposed to be. Whereas if a person really emphasizes that tefillah, that short tefillah, where you're asking Hashem, I don't want to speak, I want you to open my lips, you put the right words in my mouth, you put the right feelings in my heart, and the right emotion, and you see to it that the connection should be a proper one. Because when a person is zeicher to that, it's a complete, complete different picture than what's considered to be the norm, what's assumed to be standard. And here again, Rabbeinu Zal makes a very important point here. He's informing us that a person is going to go through ups and downs with this item. That there are times that a person is going to find that they can speak for 15 minutes, for a half hour, for an hour and a half, for more. But there are also going to be times, or there certainly can be times, when a person is going to find themselves so limited that they can't say more than a sentence or two or three, period. And that's it. The question is, what happened? Yesterday you were a chatterbox. Yesterday you had what to say and everything. What happened? Suddenly everything went away? No. The answer is something got closed up inside. Something that's supposed to be open. The heart, shifchi kamayim libech nuchach pnei Hashem, the heart, the brain, the mouth have all become locked up, sealed. And there's no way to be able to say more than a little bit. And Rabbeinu Zal stresses that when that happens, don't let go. Don't back off. You say that one line 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. And you'll see that it's very powerful, that it can really accomplish a lot. And it can lead to a point where things will open up for you and you'll be able to really, really daven well to Hashem.
And if he puts his heart under
them, would he be 100%. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, the Omar, Rav Nosson Zal writes, and Rabbeinu Zal said, Shehadibur yeshloi koyach godol ma'oid, that speech, saying something, has tremendous potential, tremendous power. Rabbeinu Zal said it's possible to tell a gun not to shoot and it shouldn't be able to shoot. V'hovein. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, understand this very well, that we have no idea how powerful the koyach hadibur of a Jew is. The Gemara says, "Hachayim v'amoves biyad haloshon," that life and death are within the tongue of a person. And that's in 100 different ways. That's number one in saying Lashon Hara against somebody, or getting somebody in trouble with your mouth. But it's also in terms of speaking with Hashem. A person can literally tear up a gzar din in Shamayim against them through tefillah, by speaking with Hashem, persistent, and chas v'shalom, the opposite. A person can forfeit all kinds of ashiras, beruchnias, begashmias, by not speaking. V'oz kishadiber mizeh, and Rabbi Nosson Zal writes, that then when Rabbi Nosson was discussing this topic of dibur, how effective the dibur of a Jew can be, dibur harbe mi hispoiridus. Rabbi Nosson spoke at length about hispoiridus. V'herich ma'oid b'sicho niflo b'kama minei l'shoinois. And Rabbi Nosson elaborated, he spoke a lot, in all different, from all different kinds of angles, discussing the importance of this item. V'chizek oisonu, and Rabbi Nosson gave us tremendous hischaskus, tremendous encouragement. He encouraged us in a very big way. V'zireis oisonu ma'oid ma'oid bozeh. And he stressed this to us very, very much. Lehischazek laharbois behispoidus behispoidus v'sicho beinoylevein koinoi. How much a Jew has to force himself and strengthen himself in this item to spend a lot of time speaking with Hashem privately in tefillah. V'omar, and Rabbi Nosson said, sheritzoinoi sheyielonu kol hayoyim kulay hispoidus. Rabbi Nosson said to his Talmidim that it was his desire that his Talmidim should have his hispoiridus a whole day. Meaning, you don't have to learn, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that. Spend the entire day, 10, 15 hours, speaking with Hashem in his hispoiridus. Ulevalois kol hayoyim halzeh. And to spend literally the whole day on this one mitzvah, on this one item. Ach, however, Lav kolodom yochalakayim zois. Not everybody is on a level to be able to do this, to be able to speak to Hashem for a couple of hours straight, or certainly 10, 15 hours straight, is not something that every Jew can accomplish. Al kain, therefore, behechroich letzavois lehem, sheyir lehem al kol ponim eze shor hispoiridus. Therefore, Rabbi Nosson said, like, the minimum we can prescribe is at least to have an hour of hispoiridus a day, that anybody that's willing to listen to the advice of Rabbi Nosson should see to it, at least in a day that has 24 hours, at least to reserve 1 hour for this item, for speaking with Hashem. Ki gam zeh toiv ma'oid, because that's also very, very good. If a person can take a whole hour a day and use it for this purpose, speaking to Hashem in your own words, in your own language, discussing all your problems, all your ups and downs, everything that you need, everything that you're grateful for, everything that you appreciate, that's also very, very good. Avol mi sheliboy chozok b'Hashem, but Rabbi Nosson said, a person who's really serious about frumkeit, about religion, v'roitze lekabel olav oil avoidose yisporach be'emes, and he really, really wants to accept upon himself serving Hashem 100%, ritzoinoi sheyeloi kol hayoyim hispoiridus. Rabbi Nosson said, such a person, I would want him to spend the whole day in hispoiridus. That's how necessary this is, and that's how much could be accomplished through this. V'hizkir oz, maimar chazal, and Rabbi Nosson then made reference to the statement in Gemara, where the Gemara says, v'alavai sheyispalel odom kol hayoyim kuloi. Halavai, a Jew should spend the whole day davening. There the Gemara in Brachos has a discussion about if a person is not sure whether he said Kriya Shema or not. Should he go back and say it again or not? So there's a machlokes. One opinion is he doesn't have to. The other opinion says, Rabbi Yochanan says, Halavai sheyispalu kol hayom kulay. What are you going to lose by it? You could daven all day. There's nothing wrong with it. And Rabbi Nosson made reference to this statement that the Gemara is implying. Note, the Gemara goes that far out to say halavai, a Jew should daven all day. It doesn't say that about any other mitzvah necessarily. So therefore, this is something for a person to know, that this is one of the most important activities within a Jew's life, within a Jew's day, if a Yid could be zeche to set themselves up this way, that they know that they try their very, very best not to let a single day go by without having at least an hour of hespedidus, that person knows that that day he's done something to help himself. He's done something really, really effective to help himself. Baruch Hashem. Any questions?
Here's some makes reference to this, the act of looking, he says you can even talk to the right hand when you shoot.
Yes.
There's like a reference to that thing in the statement of Sikh Sivan that seems to talk about the power of concentration preventing the gun from shooting. How would you apply the in other words, what would be accomplished by talking to the gun over here? In other words, the
tefillah
would stop the gun
from... Exactly. Rabbeinu Zal here isn't talking about talking to the gun. Rabbeinu Zal is saying we know that words can be very, very effective, even begashmius. How many cases are there that you read in history, the world, where a person was a dead man and he talked his way out of it? Talked his way out of jail, talked his way out of this, Begashmius, on the lowest level, we know that there are such things. That a person was a millimeter away from the end, or from some type of end, from losing all his wealth, losing his hands, losing his life, and he was able, through Dibur, to be able to pull out of it. That's Begashmius. Alachas kama v'kama bruchnius. Rabbeinu Zal stressing, you have no idea how much a Jew's mouth can accomplish, what koyach there is within Dibur, to the extent that the Zohar HaKadosh says, what did Hashem use to create the whole world? Bidvar Hashem shomayim nasu bruach piv kol tzevo. Hashem, the Bria was done through Dibur, through speech of Hashem. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that Hashem says that just like I create heaven and earth with my speech, with my dibur, so too you, the Yidden, v'leimor letzioin amiato, imiato. The Zohar HaKadosh says, just like I created heaven and earth with my speech, you, Bnei Yisrael, have a potential with your dibur to create heaven and earth. Literally, the koyach hatfila, that's how a person is zoche to, that's creation, literally. And just as it can create, it certainly can obstruct. It certainly can block a bullet. It certainly could prevent a person from being killed, being harmed.
Hazel starts off the Gemara by saying that only through Torah are tefillos niskavel. And throughout Hazel's Svarim, he always mentions the complement between Torah and tefillah. So in other words, Rabbeinu Zal here talking in theoretical sense, or in other words, that theoretically would be the best thing, but actually not, or how?
It seems he's certainly referring to somebody here that is learned. It would be very difficult for somebody to be able to spend 15 hours speaking to Hashem without having knowledge of Torah. So he's saying once a person does have knowledge of Torah, the tefillah is so important and so critical that there would be nothing wrong for a person literally spending 100% of the time on the tefillah. And if it's done properly, it certainly will lead to Torah and certainly will lead to everything else. But that's to what an extreme Rabbeinu Zal is going in discussing this particular avodah. Torah Tzadik Zayin. Rab Nosson Zal writes, Oid shomati b'shmoi le'inyan mailas hasicho beinoi levein koinoi. I also heard it said over in the name of Rabbeinu Zal regarding this topic of speaking to Hashem. She'omar, that Rabbeinu Zal said, she'al tfilois utchinois ubakoshois hasdurois mikvar. Rabbeinu Zal said that regarding all the tfilois that are written and that the Jewish people as a whole have accepted for many, many years, kvar yoyde mehem kol ha-mechablim v'ha-mekatregim. All the malochim in Shemayim, we know the Gemara makes reference in many places to the fact that there are many, many hosts of angels in Shemayim. There are thousands, millions of angels in Shemayim. And some of the functions of these malochim is to either help the tefillos of Bnei Yisrael come to Hashem, reach their proper destination, or some of these malachim, their function is to block the tefillos of the Jews from reaching Hashem. The Gemara tells the famous story of Menashe HaMelech, one of the kings of the Jews, who was a tremendous Rosho, and at one point in time he wanted to do tshuva, and he started davening to Hashem, and the Gemara says that a group of malachim locked hands to block his tefillah. They made a commitment to block his tefillah from reaching the Kisei HaKovod of Hashem. So we know that there is such a thing. There are malachim who seek to prevent the tefillahs of the Jews from reaching where they're supposed to go. How are these? Where do these malachim come from? They come from the averos that a Jew commits. The Gemara says every time a Jew does a mitzvah, he creates a malach toiv. Every time a Jew does an avero, he creates a malach ra, a mekatreg, a mechabel, a destroyer, a malach that speaks, a prosecuting attorney. And these malachim look to harm the Jews. How? By blocking our tefillahs from reaching their proper destination. So Rabbeinu Zal says, all the regular tefillos, all the standard tefillos, it seems these malachim are used to them. They know about them. And therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says, v'heim urvim al hadrochim shel elu ha-tefillos. The malachim lie in ambush next to the roads where these standard tefillos come up to Hashem, machmas sheyoyde mehem mikvar, because they know of these from before. These are common, these are standard, these are regular. Therefore, it's as if we could picture that when a Jew davens shachris mincha marav, or he says tehillim, or he says any of these standard type tefillos, those tefillos travel up to Shemayim on well-traveled roads. Roads that everybody knows about. Ocean Parkway, Lahavdil, or Herzl Boulevard here, Lahavdil. You know, the major streets which are very, very well-known. Kemoy Lamoshol, Rabbeinu Zal says, as an example, Al Aderech HaKvusho HaYodua Mefursim LaKoel, Shom Urvim Roitzchim VeGazlonim Tomim. In those days, in the time that Rabbeinu Zal lived, during the time of the Gemara, the major highways that people used to travel on, the major roadways that they used to travel on with caravans and wagons and everything, that's where the robbers used to lie in ambush different places, because they knew that you didn't have to wait a week for somebody to travel down that road. Usually there were people once every 10 minutes, 15 minutes, once every half hour that would come down this road because it was a very well-traveled road. So there the robbers would hide out along the road close by and would pick the right moment. They would see a small group of people and they would think that they had money or wealth. They would pounce on them. Machmas sheyoyde miderech ze kvar, because they know that road well. Aval kishehoyochim benesiv v'derech chodosh she'ein noyed adayin. But when a person goes on a road, on a path that's not well traveled, that people don't know much about, shom einom yoydim laroiv shom klal. There, these gazlonim, these robbers, these murderers, don't know to hide out over there, because they assume that nobody travels on this road, or hardly anybody travels on this road. So therefore, they don't hang out over there. Rabbeinu Zal said, "Kamoy kein linyan hanal." The same exact item holds true regarding tefillah, regarding davening to Hashem. Because this hispoidus, these tefillahs, where a person makes up the tefillah himself, it's his own words. It's not something that somebody else made up and everybody's saying it, thousands of yidna saying it. This is a tefillah that only one person is saying it. Who? Me. I just made up the words myself. Rabbeinu Zal said, he derech chodosh. That's like a new road, a new path that was never traveled on. Utfilo chadosho, it's like a brand new tefillah, shehoodom oimro melibo mechodosh, where the person is saying it from his own heart, brand new. Al kein ein hamekatregim mitzuyim kol kach laroiv. Therefore, there's much less of a chance of these malochim being able to, knowing to be waiting for that tefillah and to block it, to do something to harm it. Period. This is one of the advantages of hespedidus over all other types of tefillahs that a Jew could say. Rabbeinu Zal gives the mushal, he compares it to these well-traveled roads where generally, if there are any robbers or thieves or burglars, they hang out somewhere along those roads because they know that people are generally going to come by and they'll wait for the right situation and pounce, versus some hidden path, some hidden country road where nobody's going to lie in ambush over there because he knows there's a possibility of waiting 3-4 days or 3-4 weeks before some guy is going to walk down that little path in the forest, period. That's the analogy that Rabbeinu Zal gave to hespedidus versus all standard type tefillos. That hespedidus is symbolized by this path off the side of the road, which is not well traveled, especially you're making up your own tefillah. It's like a brand new road. It's like somebody's carving a new road, a new road. Do robbers know to be there? They don't even know that there's a road over there. They never knew. They know all the roads in this neighborhood, and they never knew that there existed a road here. Why? It didn't exist. Until I said this new tefillah, with this new tefillah, I created like a new road. And therefore the malachim aren't waiting for it, they don't expect it, and therefore they're not there to be able to prevent it from getting through to Hashem. But Rab Nosson Zal adds, v'afal pikein, so you would think if this is the case, Rabbeinu Zal would say, don't bother with Tehillim, don't bother with these other tchinois that were popular in those days for people to say, these sidurim that had Yiddish tfilois in them. Don't bother with that because hespedidus is much better. V'afal pikein, but still, his here ma'oid alamirois shar tchinois ubakoshois. Rabbeinu Zal did stress very much the importance of saying all of these other tfilois also, Kimavura bidvarenu kamapomim, as is explained in Likut Imran and other Sforim many times. So on one hand, we have to know that there is an advantage that hespedidus has over these other tefillos in this respect. However, this is not to say that Rabbeinu Zal did not expect his followers to say a lot of Tehillim and a lot of other tchinois and bakoshois that are found in other Sforim. On the contrary, he stressed a lot of that and a lot of hespedidus. Tefillah, every kind of tefillah, whatever it is, hespedidus is the super, super most important, no question about it. Not to let, if a person considers themselves Breslov, they consider themselves a follower of Rabbeinu Zal, it means a serious commitment to this. It means your clock is set up in such a way that there doesn't exist the possibility of a 24-hour cycle going by without having an hour of hespedidus, or at least gradually developing yourself to get to that point. Start off with 5 minutes and increase it after a week or two to 10 minutes, and gradually try to develop yourself to a point where it becomes normal for you to be able to have at least an hour of hespedidus. And besides that, Rabbeinu Zal wanted his Talmidim to be very fluent in all kinds of other tefillos. Especially we have the Sefer Likutei Tefillos that Rabbeinu Nosson Zal wrote, where he wrote tefillos on just about every subject in Judaism or in life that a Jew could possibly want to say tefillos to Hashem about. Rabbeinu Nosson Zal wrote the Sefer with over 1,000 pages of such tefillos. So certainly Rabbeinu Zal wanted us to be very fluent in all of these. Baruch Hashem. Any questions?
Did Rabbeinu Zal also say that when a person does regular tefillah, so the minyan, he's like almost free from all these makatregim? So isn't there also like the words, even let's say a person davening shachar smicha marav with a minyan, he doesn't have these makatregim? Yeah?
Definitely true. Meaning that there is another item that's very similar in this respect, in terms of a tefillah that's protected from these mechablim and everything, and that's tefillah b'tzibur. The fact that the Zohar HaKadosh, where the Gemara and the Zohar HaKadosh write that when a Jew is zoicha to be davening with a minyan, that tefillah is something that the malachim are not given any permission to examine or to block in any way. So that's in a sense like you're hiring guards. You're sending a wagon loaded with gold to travel from one place to another place, and you have a team of guards with submachine guns surrounding it, protecting it very well that nobody can get to it, that kind of thing. That's the moshel, that's the analogy in Tefillah B'Tzibur. In Hespedidus, Rabbi Nizal is giving a similar concept, but in a different variety of it. Rabbi Nizal says it's a concept that everybody is used to the regular roads. Hespedidus means you're traveling on a road that's brand new, that these burglars and thieves and malochim and mechablim and mekatregim who would normally have any thought of doing harm to a Jew's tefillah, they don't know about this path. This path eludes them, and it's able to sneak through. Both of these things are a principle of a tefillah that's more likely to get to its destination than tefillahs that don't have these two properties, not tefillah b'tzibur and not hespedidus.
Rebbe also mentions elsewhere that even within hespedidus, a person should try and renew, pick up new kinds of tefillahs. So in other words, how important is that in lieu of what we're saying now, is it, especially if we just learn the list, or that a person can just say the same thing over and over?
The answer is, we say many times in Yiddishkeit, "Kamayim layam echasim," that no two people are alike. Just like the ocean, when you look out on it, it looks level. It looks like it's similar depth. You know, it looks like it's flat on top, and it's the same. You would figure it's about the same depth, right near the shore, and 2 miles out. And yet, when you go into it, you see that it's miles of difference. So too over here. Rabbi Nizal is giving his chaskus and his oirus. On one hand, Rabbi Nizal wants a Jew to know that should you reach the bottom in terms of hespedidus, where you're at such a low point, where you find yourself in a predicament where you can't talk at all, to the extent where you can only say the word Hashem. Hashem. You can't even say anything more. You can't even say, please help me. The words aren't coming out. You just say Hashem. Ribbono shel Olam. That kind of thing. Rabbi Nizal says that's still considered to be very, very good. And say it 100 times, 1,000 times, say it for a week straight, if you have to. And it's still excellent. It still accomplishes a lot, and it's good, and it'll lead to very, very good things. That's on the hischaskus end. On the hisoirus end, Rabbi Nizal says that it's got to be new. Every time a Jew does a mitzvah, you can't be putting on your tefillin today the same way you put it on yesterday. Otherwise, what kind of nachas is Hashem getting? That's boredom. When a person feels that they're eating the same breakfast, same exact breakfast today as they ate yesterday, it's tasteless, it's ugly, it's disgusting, it's meaningless. Whereas if a person feels a hischatshus, a person feels that today has nothing to do with yesterday at all whatsoever. Today there's a new bria, a new creation. I'm going to make believe as if I never ate this thing before. It's the first time I'm tasting it, and I'm going to take that kind of attitude to it. And if I see that I put it into my mouth and it tastes good, I'm going to appreciate it. I'm going to be filled with a happiness, a good feeling, an appreciation in feeling the good taste in my mouth. It's a whole different thing. Lahavdol, in terms of mitzvahs and tefillah especially, it's the same thing. Rabbi Nizal says the peak of a person in hespedidus is a person who no 2 days is he saying the same thing. Every single day he's renewing himself, either in coming up with totally new words and new arguments to Hashem and new reasons why Hashem should bring him close to him, etc., etc., or even if he finds that he can't do that, he's not on that level yet, even if he has to resort to saying similar items, reviewing similar items over, that should be done with a hischatshus. That mentally he should be able to orient himself. It's not like I'm saying this for the 350th time. Otherwise, it's not going to have that much chashivus. If I take an attitude like this is something brand new, I'm coming to Hashem for the first time presenting my case regarding this subject, regarding my parnosa, regarding health, regarding whatever it is, and a person does it with a freshness, that freshness has a whole different flavor to Hashem. That's something that Hashem relates to much better than if the person is stale. If a person is stale in his attitude towards his own tefillah, automatically, kaviyochol, Hashem who eats these tefillahs, that's the expression that's used in the Gemara and the Torah, it's eating something that's stale, a stale piece of bread. Whereas if the attitude is that this is fresh, brand new, my attitude is every single day, I look at it as a new bria, new words, forget everything that I did till now, I'm going at it with that kind of attitude, by Hashem also it has a tremendous different nachas. Tefillah or even any other mitzvah. Here again, you think about it in a gashmiyah sense. Two people walking into shul in the morning, shachris. One person's going about that habit, putting on the tefillin exactly. He knows it's the 585th time that he's doing this. And another person, and it has a certain look to it. And another person takes an attitude of tremendous simcha. The Dovid HaMelech says, "Sos anoichi al imrosecho kemoitzei sholol rov." That the simcha that I got over Torah, over a mitzvah, was like somebody who found a tremendous, tremendous treasure. Somebody wins the lottery. We hear these stories. People go nuts. People go wild. They're laughing. They can't stop laughing for an hour. They can't stop celebrating for a week. Lahavdil. That's what a Jew is supposed to feel when he's zecher to a mitzvah. Yid is zecher to go into a mikveh and tovel X number of times and walk out. He's supposed to feel like he won the lottery. That kind of simcha, that kind of hischadshus and everything. And that has a different nachas by Hashem than if it's not that way. And especially with tefillah, which is so personal and so private, part of the things that make it meaningful is the attitude that the person themselves takes to this item.
I noticed that in the tefillah, basically the tefillah all on the same, more or less the same topics, but always with itkachut.
Exactly. New words, new approach, new angles of discussing it.
Because our problems are usually the same. We can't, our basic problems are basically the same, and every person has his problems, which all the other problems pale.
Exactly. Okay. Teret Sadik Tes. I'm sorry, Teret Sadik Ches. Oid Omar le'inyin hischaskus b'ha'hispoiridus u'tchinos b'akoshos. Rabbeinu Zal also said, as far as giving encouragement to us, his students, regarding hispoiridus and these tefillos and everything, Ki hadibur yeshloi koyach godol lo'irer esodom. You have a person, a Jew, who's asleep, spiritually asleep. He's doing mitzvahs and learning this, that, but without any chiyus. It's not alive, it's asleep, it's schleppy, it's weak, it's stale, it has all kinds of negative things in it. Rabbi Nazal said you should know that dibur has in it a power to arouse the person, to wake the person up. Ki hadibur yesh loy koyach godol lo'irer esodom. Dibur has tremendous power to arouse a person. Af al pi shenidme lohodom she'ein loy leiv. Even though a person looks at himself today and he looks inside of himself and he sees, today I have no heart at all. Meaning, I don't feel any emotion at all. I don't feel like I could laugh or cry or dance or sing or nothing. Today is a blah day. You know, the people have that kind of feeling that it's nothing. There's no enthusiasm in my whole approach to today. Afal pikein, Rabbi Nazal says, still, you'll see. Kishiyadaber harbe divrei hisoirus utchinoi sabakoshu sukiyotze, if a person will start speaking a lot of words of tefillah and tchinois and bakoshois, similar things, zehu bi'atzmoi shemedaber, that in itself, that he's speaking, the fact that he's speaking, hu bechinas his galus, his oirus, liboy venafshoy lashem yisporach. That's a concept of opening up, uncovering a liveliness and a goodness that's in his heart, in his nefesh, towards Hashem. Bebechinas, as the posuk says, nafshi yotzo bedabroi, that when I speak, it's like my nefesh is coming out. So that even if you don't feel it necessarily, even if you're not enthusiastic, you're not in happy mode, you're not in lively mode, just speaking in itself, the act of speaking deeper, is in itself a revelation of the nefesh of a Jew to Hashem. Shehadibur bi'atzmoi hu hiskalus hanefesh valev. Speaking itself is revealing one's soul and one's heart to Hashem. Ulefomim, and at times you'll find that al yidei shiyedaber harbe, that through speaking a lot, you'll start talking for 15, 20 minutes, and it'll start off cold, nothing, no enthusiasm, no emotion, nothing. Afal pikein, afal pishiyeh beloy lev klal, even though it'll be without any enthusiasm whatsoever, no emotion, afal pikein yovoy acharkach al yidei zeh lehisoyerus godoil belev onefesh. The person will bring himself to a tremendous enthusiasm, and he'll arouse himself to tremendous heights in feeling close to Hashem just because the person spoke. V'haklal, and therefore we stress very, very much, ki hadibur bi'atzmo yesh loy koyach godoil, that speech alone has tremendous, tremendous power. In other words, we would assume, that a person who's done a lot of averos and a person who hasn't learned a lot of Torah and he's not a big tzaddik, this, that, like, how much could he arouse himself to a feeling of closeness to Hashem? And Rabbeinu Zal says, if you want to take my advice, I'm telling you that you'll see that one of the most effective things in elevating a person and bringing a person close to Hashem is this inyan of dibur, speaking with Hashem. And even at times when you're going to feel it, you're starting off talking very dry, without emotion, keep at it, keep talking. And as long as you'll be talking honestly and sincerely, you'll see that the deeper itself has unbelievable powers. It has unique powers that it unlocks the person's heart. If you're speaking with Hashem in this private manner, whether you realize it or not, knowing it or not, knowingly or not, and consciously or not, the deeper is opening a door to your heart. And eventually, once that door is open wide enough, the flood of emotion that exists in every single Jew's heart will come out, and you'll see it, and you'll be shocked by it, you'll be surprised, you'll never imagine that you were capable at that time of coming to such a level of emotion, such a level of wanting to come close to Hashem, such ritzaynoi, such kisufin, and everything. That's how effective dibur is.
When you said dibur, it was the power of dibur, it's you can do just about everything in the world. We see it like if it says that if a person he says and he reviews every day his bakasha is for 40 days straight, then it's gonna be kind. What does that mean? If it's from the heart or if it's just saying like Hashem, I need this. Hashem, I need this. Just saying it.
We said before that there's different levels. I'm sure that both are not the same. That if a person is davening and just saying the words without any feeling, without any emotion, it's not going to have the same chashivas, the same value, as if a person is saying it with emotion, with heart, with kavona, with tremendous kavona. However, either one definitely helps. Definitely helps a lot. And if a yid is zeichet to be consistent for 40 days straight, Rav Nosson Zal once made a comment, I can't imagine that a Jew could ask for something for 40 days straight and not get it. That concept of 40 days is a certain shlemus. The 40 days of from Rosh Chodesh El till Yom Kippur, that unit of time, 40 days, is a major, major section within the year, where if a person is persistent and doesn't let a single day go by without going after this same thing, at the end of that 40 days, the person should definitely be able to see a major change in that item. Baruch Hashem. Next, Torah Tzadik Tes. Omar, Rav Nosson Zal writes, Rabbeinu Zal said, She'ikara ha-hispoiridus v'hasicho b'noi levein koinoi b'shleimus, who kishayefarish sichosoi kol kach lefnei Hashem isporach, עד שיהיה סמוך מאויד שתצא נשמו סוי חס ושלום, עד שכמעט יגווה חס ושלום, עד שלא תהיה נשמו סוי קשורה בגופוי כי אם כחות הסיירו, מאויצם צערוי וגיגוע וכיסופו להשם יספורך באמס. Rabbein Azal says here that when we talk about hespoidedus, what are we talking about? Are we talking about something where a person is sitting back in a chair and in a very relaxed way, in a very light way, without pushing, without straining, he's speaking to Hashem? No. There is a concept of turning it on, really, really putting a lot of emotion and a lot of feeling and a lot of power into the way you're speaking with Hashem, really exerting yourself. And Rabbein Azal said that the real hespoidedus is when a person speaks to Hashem with so much emotion and so much power to the point where he feels his neshama leaving him. He exhausts himself. Sometimes you see examples of some people that talk so fast and so much until a person gets out of breath, until when the person finishes talking, you see that they have to catch their breath. And it's like if they would have kept going at that pace for another 3 minutes, they'd be dead, period. Because they're talking so much and so strong and so powerful, so intense, that they get themselves to a point where a little more and you can die from it. Rabbein Azal said, Lahavdil, by his spiritus, it's got to be, you have to exert yourself. It's not kind of talking to Hashem in a light way, peacefully. If you want it to really, really be effective, you have to be willing to really exert yourself, to really put emotion to it, where after an hour of that, you're totally drenched and totally wiped out, exhausted from all the exertion that you had, straining yourself in talking to Hashem with such emotion and with such power. Until Rabbein Azal says, "Ad shekemat yigva chas v'shalom," until a person is an inch away from dying, that's the kind of mesiras nefesh in tefillah that we're talking about. Ad sheloitia nishmosay kshura begufoy, to the point where his neshama is connected to his body kechut hasayra, like by a thin hair. That's how far the neshama has moved away from the guf. He's gotten into the tefillah so much, he's aroused the neshama to such power to start soaring so high, where the connection with the guf is a very, very thin line that's keeping it together. V'chein mevur b'divrei Razal. And Rabbein Azal says, this isn't my own chiddush. This is mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara in Tainus makes reference to this. She'omru, the Gemara over there says, Ein tfilosoi shalodom nishmas, the tfilah of a yid is not accepted by Hashem, elo im kein mesim nafshei bichapoi, unless the person literally puts his neshama in his hands, meaning he spills out his guts. You have sometimes a teacher or a rebbe in yeshiva who really, really gives it his all, where you see that in teaching he's yelling and screaming and he's going at it with full power, where you see after an hour or two at that pace, you see he's got to sit down and rest because he's wiped out. He's put so much into it that he's literally given up all his energy. If he would try to go a little bit further, he could faint from exhaustion, literally going at it so strong. Rabbein Azal says, that's tefillah. That's real tefillah. Real tefillah is mesiras nefesh, where you exert yourself. You're not sitting back and taking a laid-back attitude. You're exerting yourself to the extent where the person is meisim nafshei b'chapoi. He takes his life into his hands. That kind of thing. That kind of mesiras nefesh. V'omar, and Rabbein Azal once said, Haloi kishashem yisporach oizer behispoidedus. When Hashem helps a Jew in hespoidedus, azai ha-hespoidedus hu kashi yidaber isha reyehu, then the hespoidedus feels so good, it feels like a person was speaking to their closest friend, to a best friend. That's how warm the connection feels to Hashem when a yid is zeicha that Hashem helps him in hespoidedus. Baruch Hashem. Torah Kuf. Rav Nosenzal writes, Sipruli, they told me, Rabbein Azal's Talmidim told me, She'omar, that Rabbein Azal had said, Shemikoton va'ad godol, that from the smallest Jew, to the biggest tzaddik, from the worst Russia to the biggest tzaddik, E'efshar lihiyos ish kosher be'emes. It is impossible to be a real religious person ki im al yedei hispoiridus, unless the person has hispoiridus, unless the person speaks to Hashem on a regular basis, asking Hashem to help him, beruchnius, begashmius, everything else, thanking Hashem for whatever Hashem has done for him, all of these different things. And at the time that Rabbeinu Zal was discussing this, he mentioned this Talmidim, the names of many famous tzaddikim. V'omar, and Rabbeinu Zal said, Shekulam loybo lemadregosom kiyim al yidei hispoiridus. That all of these tzaddikim, you know how he became such a big tzaddik? Because he spent time in hispoiridus. He spent time speaking to Hashem, asking Hashem to bring him close. V'gam tofas ish echod poshut minechtei habal shem tov zal. And Rabbeinu Zal at that time also gave them an example of a very simple person, like a layman, a person that goes to work and everything, one of the grandchildren of the Baal Shem Tov. The Omar, and Rabbeinu Zal said, Gam ze mefarish sichosei b'chol pam lefnei Hashem yisporach b'bechia gedoyla. Even this guy, even this person, pours out his heart to Hashem on a regular basis with tremendous flow of tears. He cries to Hashem with a lot of tears when he speaks to Hashem on a regular basis. The Omar, and Rabbeinu Zal said, Shezera habal shem tov regilim boze biyoser, that the descendants of the Baal Shem Tov, those people that come from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, for them this is much more natural. Ki heim mizera dover ha-melech olav ha-shalom, because the Baal Shem Tov's lineage went back to Dover ha-melech. The Baal Shem Tov was a descendant of Dover ha-melech. V'chol iskoi shel David hoyo inyan ze. And Dover ha-melech's main item in life was this item. He was the one who was most outstanding in being able to break his heart before Hashem in tefillah, to be able to crush his heart into little pieces, to soften it, to tenderize his heart to such a level to be able to speak to Hashem with such tchinois and bakoshois as are found throughout the Sefer Tehillim. Shezehu ikar Sefer Tehillim sheyosad. That's the whole gist of the Sefer Tehillim that Dovra Melech presented to Klal Yisrael. It's Dovra Melech's own personal hispoidus with an extraordinary lev nishbor. So Rabbeinu Zal said, therefore, those people that are privileged to be descendants of Dovra Melech, like the Baal Shem Tov and his family, they have an extra power when it comes to this. They have an advantage when it comes to this, that for them it's much more natural to cry to Hashem in tefillah and to speak, to have this soft heart, this broken heart before Hashem. Baruch Hashem.